A View of the Judgment. Battle Creek, Michigan, October 23, 1879. In the morning, about 2 o'clock, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. I was shown some things, which I can but give a faint description of, should I do my best. The day the execution of the judgment had come, I was shown thousands upon thousands of people, a countless multitude assembled. But I soon lost sight of the crowd, and my attention was wholly centered in those nearest me. There was a personage of grave aspect. His eyes seemed to penetrate my being through and through, and with many there seemed to be a desire to shrink back from his stern and yet pitiful gaze. One very large book lay before him, upon which was written in letters of gold, which seemed to burn as if on fire, The Ledger of Heaven. The book was opened, and he turned over a large number of pages slowly, and I could read the title of every page. It seemed that the transactions of different firms were recorded where men who managed them were professed Christians. Their unchristian acts were all recorded. He then opened another book, upon which was written The Ledger of Heaven. In this were righteous acts written, beneficent deeds, the works of mercy and love, standing in letters like gold, as if on fire. Every name that was written in the first book was also written in the second book. The man opened the first book, where all that was connected with the institutions at Battle Creek was recorded. Men who had been in the providence of God connected with the office, their names were recorded. Humble, teachable heart, we are holding intercourse with God Himself. The thoughts expressed, the precepts specified, the doctrines revealed, are a voice from the God of heaven. The Bible will bear to be studied, and the mind, if not bewitched by Satan, will be attracted and charmed. Some of the hands in the office sadly fail to keep the heart pure, the temple of the soul cleansed from desecration, so that Jesus may come in and control the mind and affections. The light which beams through the Scriptures is light from the eternal throne. All who make the Word of God their guide in this life will act from principle. Those who are vacillating, vain, extravagant, gratifying the appetite, and following the promptings of the natural heart will, in obeying the teachings of God's Word, become balanced. They will devote themselves to duty with an energy that never falters. They will rise from one degree of strength to another and will be acceptable anywhere among those who love truth and righteousness. There is not, with everyone connected with the office, that strict fidelity which meets the mind of God. Said Christ, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Luke 16, verse 10. In the little matters, some do not think it necessary to be so very exact. But this is the deception of Satan. Selfishness is at the root of all unfairness and all lack of fidelity. Oh, that God would set before you all the necessity of seeing and remedying the defects in your characters which Satan sees and takes the advantage of, and which, if not overcome, will prove the ruin of the soul. God would have those connected with His sacred work who will bear the test of temptation and come forth pure gold. It is a most solemn duty to keep the spirit pure, as a sanctuary for the Most High God. Heart, mind, and soul are to be devoted to the service of God and the good of our fellow men. In view of our accountability to God, we are all under the strongest obligation to bring our appetite and passions under the control of the intelligent will. Taste has done more to pervert the understanding and becloud the spiritual sky than everything besides. Satan benumbs the intellect of many through indulgence of appetite, and then he makes these intemperate ones special objects of temptation to to go still further from the path of obedience and holiness. Says the Apostle, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof." Romans 6, verse 12. He urges upon his disciples the necessity of temperance, telling them that every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. I call upon you who would fear God and work righteousness to consider the things I have written. The Lord calls upon you to reform. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, but we have no right to claim the promises of God till we comply with the conditions revealed in His Word. "Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Will you do it? God calls for you to set things in order in that office. Let all enter into a covenant with the Most High, to serve Him with the whole heart, the undivided affections. His promises have never failed, and they never will fail. You must come up to the high standard of God and make decided reforms.